Anyway, thinking about the sermon, and I was struggling there too, trying to figure out what am I going to talk about today? You know, and I've gone through all kinds of things and threw this one away and that away. One of those things when you're just trying to decide what you want to do. And I think part of the problem is I'm overly obsessed with the condition of the world today. I think Tim talked about that not too long ago. And, you know, we become obsessed with these things, and it does. It starts to affect our mind when we look at all the things that are taking place. So with that, it came to mind that I thought today I would talk about, and this would be the title, The Cause of World Problems. The Cause of World Problems and What to Do About It. So that's where I'm going to go today. You know, I was trying to decide, speaking about these things and the world problems, then it dawned on me that there is a cause for these problems. You know, we are indeed living in very difficult times. We're facing a pandemic, COVID-19. It's a pandemic, which has resulted in the shutting down of most of the world's economies. And you can think of the problems that brings up. And these shutdowns have created an economic crisis throughout the world. And you need to think about that. The people that are out there that don't have any income, they don't have a job, they have children, they have mortgages, they have car payments, they have, you know, various other things, and they don't have a job. It becomes very difficult. So it is a crisis. And although all that crisis creates these emotional problems for the people involved. I mean, they already talk about higher incidence of alcoholism, spousal abuse, and all kinds of problems. And of course, we can add to that the massive rioting taking place in all the major cities. Seattle, Minneapolis, Portland, Baltimore, New York, Atlanta. I mean, we could go through a whole litany of all these things, and there's a lot of problems out there. But again, there is a cause for all these problems. I remember actually going back many, many years ago when I think back, 50 years ago, I guess, or better. And I remember Herbert W. Armstrong, and one of the themes that he used to recite quite frequently was there is a cause to every effect. And it's correct, and he's right. For everything we see, there's a cause. The world is facing very difficult times, and there's a reason for what we're facing today. So what is that cause? I think most of us really understand it. Boils down, there I get my speeches slurred. it really boils down to one three-letter word, and it's called sin. That's the cause of all the world's problems. And sin entered the world when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. That was the very beginning of it there. Had they not disobeyed God, and had they continued not to sin, they may have inherited eternal life right there in the Garden of Eden. But they didn't. And as a result, they were tossed out of the Garden of Eden, and they were given a death sentence. Now, I know Satan went in there, and Satan said, "Oh, no, you're not going to die. You can eat that fruit. You're not going to die." They did die. He didn't say you would die immediately, but you will die. And as a result, all mankind has been given the law of sin and death. We all fall under the law of sin and death. If we sin, we're going to die. And of course, we know in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, and we all come short of the glory of God. So today I want to talk about sin. I'm going to talk about four topics, basically, just four topics. And I think we have a pretty good answer to most of them, but I thought it'd be a good review to go through some of these things. Number one, I want to talk about what is the definition of sin? What is sin? Number two, I want to talk about the results or the effects of sin. There's a cause for all effects. I'm going to talk about the effects, what happens when we sin. Number three, I want to talk about the fact, do you and I sin? I think most of us know the answer to that, but it's a good question. It's a good thing to look up and see what the Bible has to say. And number four, what do we do about this sin that we deal with in the world? What do we do? Well, let me start. So let's start with the definition of sin. Let me start by giving you the basic dictionary definition of sin. It says it is an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. An immoral act, a transgression against divine law. And of course, we know that God is the lawgiver, so he is the one that gives divine law. Now, John gives us actually the biblical definition of sin in 1 John 3 and in verse 4, where John tells us, he said, everyone who practices sin, and I want to talk about that a little bit, who practices sin is also practicing lawlessness. And then he gives the definition. He says, for sin is lawlessness, not keeping the law. And when we're not keeping the law, I'll look at a couple other things. Talking about practicing sin, and when I go into do we sin, but I will tell you, there's a big difference between committing a sin and practicing sin. Practicing sin is something, you know the difference, you know what's right and wrong. It doesn't matter anyway. You're just going to go ahead and continue to sin. That's practicing sin. So sin is not keeping God's law. And of course, we get his laws. We get them. We know where we get them. We get them from his Bible, his word. Now, James amplifies this meaning of sin. He actually amplifies it in James 4. So in James 4 and in verse 17, that's James 4, verse 17. He says, if anyone knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There again, we talk about it. If you know what is right and wrong and you choose not to do what is right, what is good, to you it's sin. So we have no choice to do what is good or not. That's a choice we make. But we're also told in Leviticus 22, in Leviticus 22 and in verse 9, it reminds us that we must keep God's word. We must keep God's word. Again, that's Leviticus 22 and verse 9. And it says, and they shall keep my ordinance, lest they bear sin for it. In other words, if you don't keep what God has given you and commanded you to do, it's sin. That they may not die for it when they defile it. You know, Jeremiah also reminded Israel that worshiping other gods and not keeping his law is sin. Again, in Jeremiah 16 and verses 10 and 11, that's Jeremiah 16, verses 10 and 11, it says, and it shall come to pass when you declare to the people all these words, when you tell the people these words, and they're going to say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? And what is our iniquity, or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then he says, then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me. And notice the last thing he says, and have not kept my law. You know, I'm not going to turn there. You could go into Proverbs 21:4, I think it's 24:9, a couple of the Proverbs you could look at. They also give examples of sin. But you know, finally, and I'm not going to turn there, but we're all aware of Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments were given. And we all know that we are required to keep them. A lot of people don't think that you need to keep the commandments anymore, so they don't even keep After all this we just read about keeping the, you must keep God's law or it's a sin, they don't keep the fourth commandment. So the bottom line is, if we do not do the will of God by loving Him, by keeping His commandments, and keeping His laws, basically we sin. So what, number two, so what are the results or the effects of sin and not doing the will of God? Now, without a doubt, I think the most extreme effect of this, when we look at it, the most extreme effect of sin came very, very early during the time of Noah. I'm not going to talk, well, yeah, Genesis 6. In Genesis 6, and let me begin in verse 11, in Genesis 6. It says, "Now the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Do we see violence in the world today? Think about that a little bit. But this is one of the things he said. The world was filled with violence. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth." I dare say we probably see a little bit of corruption in the world today. "And God said to Noah," this is the result of sin. He said, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Things had gotten so bad, the sins were so bad, that God actually said he was done. And basically, he was getting rid of all men, of course, except for Noah and his family. Apparently, sin does not sit very well with God. It does not sit well with God. Another effect of sin is also located in Genesis, and without going into any great detail, and I think we're all familiar with it, but things had gotten so bad in Sodom and Gomorrah that God would no longer tolerate their behavior, and he destroyed them with fire and brimstone. I'm not going to turn there. It's Genesis 19, verse 24. But there's so many examples of the penalties of sin. Just think about the Israelites, for example, their exodus from Egypt. After God committed one miracle after another miracle, constantly to free them from slavery in Egypt. And what did they do? They grumbled, they complained, when Moses went up on the mountain to get instructions from God, they actually started worshiping a golden calf. So over and over, and it, what was the ultimate result of their sin? They spent 40 years in the wilderness, and not one single adult that left Egypt went into the promised land, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. These are some of the results that we see when we see sin. The ultimate effect of sin, as I've mentioned, is death. That's the ultimate. In Romans 5, Paul tells us in Romans 5 and in verse 12, that's Romans 5 and verse 12, he said, "Therefore, as by one man," and he's talking about Adam here, "as one man, sin entered into the world, and by the means of sin came death. And in this way, death passed into all mankind, and it is for this reason that all have sinned." You know, we all come under the law of sin and death. You know, even when we look at 1 Corinthians 15, you know, in a twinkling of an eye, the body, the physical body, has still got to die. You're not going to take this physical body, you know, into God's kingdom. James also confirms this same ultimate effect of sin in James 1. In James 1 and in verse 15, he says that after lust has conceived, and lust always starts in the mind, it comes from the mind. After lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is completely finished, it brings forth death. You know, sin has been around since the first man. And again, the final effect of sin is death. So if that's the case, let's look at number three. Do you and I sin? I think most of us probably know that, but let's take a look at a few things that the Bible tells us, teaches. And I think that the Apostle Paul made it pretty clear where we stand on that issue, what I just read in Romans, and I'm going to repeat it again then. Let me repeat again what he just read in Romans 5. He said, therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by means of sin came death. And notice, and in this way, death passed into all mankind, and it is for this reason that all have sinned. All have sinned. Doesn't say a few, doesn't say one or two, it says all. Probably includes us. And Paul repeats this again in Romans 3:23, which I said earlier, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Apostle John, talking to those, and by the way, I need to make this clear. You know, when we look at the epistles, all the epistles, you know, we look at John, Peter, Jude, you know, Paul, whoever's given it, they're not talking to the general public. They're talking to the church. When we read these epistles, they're talking to you and I. So John tells us in 1 John 1 and in verse 8, and again, bear in mind, he's talking to the church when he says this. He said, if we say that we do not have sin, we're good people. Now, he doesn't say that at all. He says, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And you know, even Solomon, and we know that Solomon came up and did a lot of sins. But even Solomon, in all his wisdom, recognized that we all sin. In Ecclesiastes 7, and in verse 20, it says, for there is not a righteous man on the earth, none, who does good and does not sin. Not a one. So there we go, brethren. Like it or not, we're all sinners. And we all fall short of the glory of God. So finally, number four, then what do we do about it? Now there's a ton of scriptures that you could go through the entire Bible that talks about our conduct and our behavior and our behavior should be. But I want to make it really clear that when what I'm talking about in sin here is not just your personal sins and my personal sins, but look at the result of the sins of the world. Look what happened in the time of Noah. Look what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. So we're talking huge numbers here when we have large numbers of sins. The whole world sins basically when they refuse to keep God's law and to do His will. That's what we talked about. But we are not exempt from our own behavior either, even though I'm looking at worldwide events and things taking place. But that doesn't exempt us from sin. We have sinned and we will die. And we're all told in Hebrews 9, we're told in Hebrews 9 and in verse 27, it says, and in as much as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And that all comes as a result of the law of sin and death. God said, if you sin, you're going to die. However, the good news is, you know, we have hope because we have an advocate. We have an advocate in Christ. Now notice in 1 Corinthians 15, which I referred to a little earlier, but in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, we're told, for as in Adam all die. Once again, as in Adam all die. So also it says, in Christ shall all be made alive. But we have an advocate. So let's take a look at how to deal with sin in 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2. John says, my little children, I am writing these things to you. And again, he's speaking to the church here. I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And yet, if anyone does sin, there's the bottom line, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he died, he took the penalty for your sins and mine. We all sinned, and he did not. And he died and took the penalty. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then John tells us our part. He tells us that our part is to keep God's commandments in verse 3. He says, and by this standard, we know that we know him. How do we know him? If we keep his commandments. And if we don't keep his commandments, we sin. We're violating the law. Verse 4 says, the one who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It's important we keep the commandments. You know, it's pretty clear that our sins must be put away, and that basically has to do, obviously, with repentance. I know probably most of you in here have probably been baptized. But we cannot continue to sin. That's what repentance is all about. We cannot continue to sin. In Acts 2, and beginning in verse 36 of Acts 2, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel, and of course we're the modern house of Israel, therefore let all the house of Israel know with full assurance that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And notice the response here. They said, now after hearing this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins, for getting rid of the sins. And then he continues on, he says, and you yourself shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us fight against sin. That doesn't mean we'll never sin again, like I said before. You're not to practice sin. Practicing sin is, I know what sin is. I know that God's law does this and says that. Well, I don't care, I'm not going to keep it. That's practicing sin. But I guarantee you, most of us make a mistake once in a while. We step out of line, do something we shouldn't do. We need to repent again immediately. Repentance is a lifelong process. It isn't something we just do, one time. And we need the Holy Spirit to overcome this world. And we can't do it without His Holy Spirit. Now, just one page over on chapter 3, by the way, of Acts, and 19, chapter 3, and verse 19, we're told, therefore repent and be converted. And what's the purpose of being repenting and being converted? In order that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, and just like King David, once we overcome our sins and we repent, and we ask God to cleanse us of those sins, part of our process. Notice David's prayer. Notice his prayer in Psalm 51. Now we know David had a pretty tough time. And keep in mind, David had God's Holy Spirit when he committed those sins with Bathsheba and the death of her husband. David, in verse 2 of Psalm 51, David says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He says, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. This is the attitude that we have to have. We have to recognize when we sin, we need to get rid of it, need to put it away. And keep in mind again, David had God's Holy Spirit. Read verse 11. In verse 11 he says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. So don't think because you've been baptized and you've received the Holy Spirit, you're exempt from sin. sometimes we make mistakes. Hopefully none of us actually practices sin. Anyway, repentance, as I said, it's a lifelong activity. It isn't something we just decide to do and then that's it forever. I know I laugh about that. Some of my children that are in other Protestant churches just believe that's it. Once you're saved forever. Doesn't matter what sin is, doesn't matter. You know, we don't have a license to sin because we've been baptized. We're simply no longer to practice sin, but as long as we're in the flesh, we will occasionally slip up. But at that point, you need to confess your sins to God. You need to ask Him forgiveness and basically just move on. We all need to do that. And we're told in Hebrews 12, and in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entraps us, and let us run the race set before us with endurance." In other words, get rid of the sin and keep going. Don't give up. Get rid of the sin and keep going. And then what? Verse 2, having our minds fixed on Jesus, the beginner and the finisher of faith, of our faith, who for the joy that lay ahead of him endured the cross, although he despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then in verse 3, basically we're just told in verse 3, we're told to meditate deeply on Jesus Christ. Brethren, our calling does not isolate you and I from the rest of the world. These things that are taking place in the world, these riots that are taking place, massive destruction being in our own country. I remember distinctly being in I was in the military for a long time. And I distinctly remember the first couple times that I was like in the Philippines, or maybe I was over in Greece, or I know various places. I've been in 78 different countries. But I remember going in there and I would see people, their police were standing on the street corners with Thompson submachine guns. And I remember distinctly coming home and being thrilled to death that I was back home in a safe place. And now I see what's going on, and it disgusts me. It really does. I thought I'd never see it in my own country. But think about what the apostles had to endure. When we look at world conditions, the things taking place, look what the apostles had to endure. Every one of them martyred, except for John. And he was boiled in oil. Look what David faced when Saul sought to kill him. Look what Daniel had to face in the lion's den. And in fact, the whole 11th chapter of Hebrews, you should read through it to see what Moses and Jacob and all the others had to endure. We're not isolated from the problems in this world because we go to church and because we have God's Holy Spirit. We still have to face it. Read what the modern nations of Israel will face in the time of Jacob's trouble. Go back and take time to read about Jacob's trouble. We may indeed face some very turbulent times ahead, and unless the world repents, some of these conditions we look at are only going to get worse. They're not going to get better. Satan realizes his time is getting shorter. And he will utilize everything in his arsenal to try and prevent God from achieving his plans. This is serious stuff. So the cause of all the world's problems is sin. And I ask the question, what do we do about it? The only answer to see world conditions improve, unfortunately, is repentance on a worldwide scale. We in the churches of God have a responsibility to blow the ram's horn and a warning of the things to come. This is part of our job. It didn't just come to church, shake hands and talk to each other. That's great. We have a responsibility. We're specifically told in Isaiah 58, In Isaiah 58, and in verse 1, it says, "Cry aloud and do not spare. Lift up your voice like a ram's horn and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." It's a responsibility. And God gives us a warning in Ezekiel 33 that he holds us responsible to warn his people. Ezekiel 33, and beginning in verse 7. Verse 7. It says, "And you, son of man, I have set you as a watchman to the house of Israel." That's the church. "Therefore, you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. And when I say to the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked one shall die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at your hand." Are we doing what we should be doing? Verse 9 says, "But if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his way, he shall still die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." You know, we are indeed to repent of our sins, but that does not eliminate us of our responsibilities of what we need to be doing to the nations. The only answer to the current world problems is to repent and to put away sin. Period. We have a role in this mission. We have a role. Think about Jonah. Jonah was given the mission. He didn't want to do it, by the way. Jonah was pretty adamant until God slapped him upside the head and told him, he better get it together and you go do what I told you to do. And God taught him a valuable lesson. We all know what that is. We can go into detail. However, once he did, as God commanded, notice the response. Notice the response from the people of Nineveh. In Jonah 3, and in verse 5 of Jonah 3. Now again, this is after listening to the word of Jonah and repenting, and it says, "And the people of Nineveh, they believed God. They believed God, and they proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth." And here's the real key. "From the greatest of them, even to the least of them." It would take it from the top leaders of the world all the way down. Need that kind of repentance. And notice the result in verse 10. "And God saw their work, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it." Only answer. The only answer to world's problems is repentance and doing away with sin. Sin is the cause of all these world problems. And what we are dealing with right now is the effect. What we see when we see these riots and all these things taking place, we're dealing with the effect. Will we see things get better or worse? I don't know. We don't know. We don't have a. We can't predict the future. Only time will tell. Could be a very rocky road ahead. Not only for us. And by the way, I know a lot of times I talk about the United States, but we're talking about Australia, New Zealand, the British Empire, France, and numerous other countries. Brethren, we need to put our trust in God and continue to pray for his kingdom to come. That's our future. That's our hope. What we're dealing with in this physical life right now is only temporary. It's only temporary. It only lasts a short period of time. God's kingdom is forever. Think about that. Thank you.